like, I'll take some notes. I haven't got my set of questions, so if you just ask the questions.
Okay. Alright, we'll do it like that again. Cool. Okay. So you've all done a workshop now, obviously. Like, and it was quite useful that, like, two of you I noticed was in, like, each workshop, if that made sense. So it's quite good that we get an idea of, like, what you thought about each of them. Okay. So, what have I done here? Okay. So, what do you think, like, that the workshop was about then? How did you feel that, like, what did you get out of it? What did you feel that it was actually about?
I guess I thought it was sort of looking at the differences between just reading the piece and actually seeing it as a performative piece and what the differences are.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think there'd really be that many differences. I thought that you could probably get a lot of what the piece was about just from reading it, but then when we actually did, like, performance exercises, I saw that there was sort of quite a few differences.
I think a bit better understanding after the lecture today, when she was on about the aesthetic value and form and such, and she was on about how uncomfortable it was to kind of just talk without an audience, to have this kind of non-conversation, this minimal conversation, then you kind of appreciated the role of that exercise. Because if somebody said to you, oh, it's very awkward just to talk about something on your own to nobody, you don't really appreciate that until you've tried it.
That's so true.
I thought it was really interesting, the, like, how, what makes a conversation as well, because you think that, like, you know, you might, and, like, what's the role of a mouth or a listener, and you kind of, it's really interesting that you feel you need another person, and sometimes it's quite nice when they're just listening, but sometimes you also need the questioning and the stuff behind.
Yeah.
I think I found it most awkward when you were just the one listening and you just had to respond. I was just, yes. Yes. Asking for questions as well. I thought I was really trying to think of questions.
Oh, when you were the auditor in the mouth,
I found myself not even concentrating on the conversation at all and totally missing the point.
Oh, no.
And just trying to think of these questions.
Jonathan made it sound really easy when he did the the introduction. Yeah. So, because in the two which I sort of observed, there was, like, a lot of talk between the gap between, like, thought and speech, and you guys all seemed to pick up on that as well, with the idea of, like, talking to yourself, like, internally talking, externally projecting. So you found that there was, especially, like, after the lecture and stuff, there's a lot of sort of different issues involved with thought and meaning.
I thought it was really interesting, like, the idea that we're compelled to speak, or at least compelled to communicate, because if someone had said, are you compelled to talk, I'd say no. And then you think that actually, yes, you know, even if you're on your own, you're probably on a social networking site or a blog or something, kind of writing about what you're doing. There is a really weird human need to express yourself.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's true. I feel that as well.
Just quickly, Kira. Do you remember those? I was just wondering how that matches up with what you've got here. So this was the first one?
Yeah.
Where does that one come into it? Because we have that label as the first.
What do you mean? Hang on. I have no idea what you mean.
Okay, well, anyway. Just wanted to ask, whether your conceptions about how it's possible to do philosophy have changed as a consequence of the workshop. Do you feel that it's possible to approach doing philosophy in a different way besides just having a, you know, a debate or sitting listening in a lecture hall? I mean, what did you find particularly effective?
I'll be slightly conservative there and say I don't think it has changed.
Okay.
I think, although it was an interesting approach, I think it has kind of a greater focus on the feel-lit people, perhaps. And it worked in some regards because it was related to Beckett, but I couldn't see how that could result to, you know, improving our understanding of, say, what Hobbes was going on about or Kant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a traditional style focus primarily is still the best there.
I would agree with you. I mean, being completely honest, I don't think I got that much out of it. Maybe it was the text, or that it was definitely more theatre-based, but I don't think it was that useful in relation to the course.
I think it's got, I suppose it might like help you remember things. Like it could be say a good revision technique. Like when someone says something, like it's a new way to remember things. So if you've acted out, you might remember it more. Cause you think like, oh yeah, I remember doing that. That was really embarrassing. But I don't think it'd contribute to understanding. I don't think you'd be like, oh, I'm having real trouble understanding this incompatibilism. Well, if I think of Beckett's mouth and go on like that, I don't think it really contributes to your understanding much, but it might help remember or things like that.
Yeah.
I disagree completely. Then I do have a kind of interest in the literature side of this, and I found that when we've been writing essays for like other modules and stuff, I've got a higher mark because I've been able to... this was more like partially before the workshops, also just from the lecture. Linking it to things in real life means it's much easier to come up with examples, and whilst it doesn't particularly help, apart from just memory, in order to recount what a philosopher said, it's really helpful to kind of apply what the philosopher said and try and work out what you actually believe in as to what... Because I think like the media or a literature text or something can kind of... arouse an idea in you, and you can kind of actually link it and say, oh, actually, that's what this means. And kind
yeah.
of. I think it's really helpful if you're trying to write an essay or something, and instead of just focusing on the examples that they give, try and give it to different examples and apply it to a more modern setting and see how it's relevant to us.
Mm.
So perhaps I agree that it's not particularly helpful in getting over specific philosophical ideas, but I think that it's changed how I view it anyway.
Really nice
to hear. I think it forces you to have more of an opinion than you do in a lecture, because like in lectures and seminars you can listen to what they're saying and just like write it down, whereas that you had to, because you were speaking yourself much more, you had to have your own opinion on it.
I think there's another thing, like when you're in lectures or seminars, there's a danger of both a lecturer or a seminar leader having an opinion that they then put on you, so
okay,
then you adopt
yeah.
their opinion. And also there's a danger of complete neutrality, because I found that some lecturers are so neutral that you don't know what to believe. You have no real persuasive argument which one to believe. So when you're just kind of a bit like, I don't know where I stand, because I don't really have anyone's passionate opinion. But then sometimes it can, I don't know.
Yeah.
It really helps you form your own kind of thoughts.
Oh, I just don't know how they could present a workshop in that similar format, for instance, on Kant. You know, I don't know how it could be delivered via theatre as
yeah.
a medium.
Well, that's interesting to say that, because as the workshops were going on, we were talking and we were thinking, how would you sort of explore, like, metaphysical philosophy, like, through that? And we were thinking back to, like, Descartes, and I was saying, oh, what they could do is have, like, a box labelled, like, Method of Doubt, and you like crawl through the box and then you come out the other side and you have to say something that you find that you like think that you can doubt or something like that. But I don't know, what was your ideas with
I think
sorry, it sounds like Teletubbies or something.
I just think it would be that there could be useful workshops along those lines formulated. I think just because you can't see how it could be done after having experienced one of them doesn't necessarily mean that it's sort of a team of competent academics in conjunction with IATL couldn't sit down and come up with a really useful activity to do with Kant or other metaphysical philosophers. I personally would be quite interested to see how that could be done, but it's definitely worth noting that you feel that it would be less applicable.
Yeah,
or like I definitely appreciate that it's difficult to like comprehend, conceive of some like workshop like that, because
it'd just be really subjective as well. It's like obviously it seemed to help you understand it a lot better, but for me, I think even if it was like really well thought out, it wouldn't have the same effect. Whereas if I was sat there, like with a lecturer in a seminar, and they were just explaining ideas and like talking about it and or debating about it, I think that is just, for me personally, the most helpful thing. It helps me understand, it helps me engage with the text. Whereas in a room, acting out through things, I don't know if it's because I've never really done that much that way, but it's not that I wouldn't even take it seriously, I just don't think that sort of thing helps me personally as much.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I just thought it would be useful to have had it in conjunction with a lecture in that week,
okay,
as opposed to instead of. If you kind of take the option this or that and replace it, you sometimes sit there and think, well, we've spent 3 weeks on a topic that we could have done in two with the kind of supplementary bit.
Mm.
Perhaps then not so long a gap between the workshop and the lecture could potentially have meant you're more fresh on.
I think reading week didn't help as well, yeah, did it? Because we had, like, so we basically had 2 weeks without our ideas of reading lectures, so yeah.
It didn't take the place of your lecture, did it?
Yeah, it did.
Doesn't your lecture usually take place on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, so they cancelled the Friday?
They cancelled the Friday.
That's the reason why
of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So that was the thing.
Yeah, I see
they
what
did.
You mean there would be...
It was in conjunction with the lecture, though, because it related to the lecture before I mean, I think I do agree in the sense that I don't think it was as useful learning-wise as a lecture, but I think in combination with one, it inspired me to actually look for philosophy. I think so often you can get embedded down in a textbook or, dusty lecture theatre to kind of actually go... Like when I'm walking around, I'm kind of thinking... Hey, that's a philosophical idea by this person. Kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe find connections with, so it's not such a distant subject.
Yeah, I think I agree. I agree that I think a lecture and sort of a textbook and sort of doing it a lot of that, it should still be the primary way. But I do think it's sort of, it's healthy in a way to have a different aspect of learning every so often. And I think it was successful. I think if it's not used too much...
Yeah.
Then it will be successful. I definitely think it's an alternative way to learn it, if not the best way to learn it.
Yeah.
I think we agreed on that, didn't we? That
being
used in moderation, it was really successful. We all really enjoyed it, though perhaps seeing it used still in moderation, the risk is that these techniques become too overused and their impact then just reduces seriously.
I think, I think the novelty value of it is quite key to its success. Yeah. So if it became... too much of a regular thing, I think sort of how successful it was would sort of be limited.
I mean, look at what we describe lectures as dusty lecture halls,
etc.
It's because they're the regular, suddenly they became the exception, the novelty value goes to them.
Yeah.
But perhaps it's not, I think that's really interesting that you see it that way, but just to kind of offer a potentially alternative way of looking at it, I mean, you're drawing a parallel with them, putting them on the same plane and saying, okay, well, we go to lectures all the time, that's why they don't seem like a novelty, whereas this, because it was once in a, it was a one-time opportunity, that's why it seems fresh and interesting. But I think it might be worth considering that the nature of the activity and the diversity of the activities that were required constitutes a very different sort of mode of learning that, I mean, certainly to my mind, it's qualitatively different from just sitting there passively and to some degree in isolation, because you're not interacting with others, sort of just absorbing the information, whereas you were all encouraged to take part. All of you had to demonstrate your... views, perspectives, your participation to the rest of the group. You were all constantly engaged and trying different things throughout the hour and a half. It was constantly moving, moving you from one thing to another. So it's a very, it's kind of, I think if you, in from that perspective, potentially the novelty is contained within the set of practices itself, rather than just being, as a package, something that, if experienced too regularly, would be stale. But that's just a potentially, not the right way of looking at it, but an alternative way of looking at it. But that's really interesting, actually.
So we kind of spoke about this a little bit. As you said, like, everyone enjoyed it. I was just going to say, how do you feel now it's over? And, like, most importantly, did you have fun during it?
I really enjoyed it. That's obviously come across, but... I have a genuine interest in like arty stuff and literature, and I think I missed that because I've studied them at various points, and I think I missed them. So I kind of like the combination of different disciplines.
I remember seeing, is it Jack?
Yeah,
you seem to be having quite like fun and stuff with the person you were with when you were doing the like talking thing. I remember seeing you and like everyone was laughing and having fun and stuff.
Yeah. No, I think it was good. I just think, like, lectures I thought were, like, a kind of happy medium, because, like, I think if you were reading a text straight from a book, it may take you 20 minutes, half an hour to cover what you would do in, say, a two-hour lecture.
Yeah.
But I think in the two-hour lecture, you're a bit more spoon-fed, you're a bit more walked through it. And I think with this as well, it's even, like, not more spoon-fed, but it's more directed, you're kind of given a way to go. So it may be even more helpful to some people, but I think if you wanted to cover the same amount, you'd have to do a lot more.
Mm.
Mm. So if you wanted to, say, cover the same as in an hour lecture in, like, a workshop, I think it would take about 3 hours if you wanted to cover, like, the proper same amount. So it's just almost like a lecture's a happy medium. You're sort of, you're not being left to your own devices, but you're not being helped along too much, and it's...
Yeah.
I think what was quite fun was a different kind of path of learning. It wasn't
They
say this is that. It's you kind of move towards it yourself. It was kind of you discover it, you try and work out, you pull together some clues, they guide you rather than lead you, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think it was a really good experience, and Jonathan is obviously very good at what he does. I think it was directed very well. You know, everyone was very active and participating, but I don't think I would necessarily do it again.
I'd do it again, but I'd probably be happy to do it as I say, instead of replacing a lecture, I'd probably be happy to do it as an extracurricular thing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
I think that would be, like, a good idea, say, if you're aware for two lectures a week, say, if it was, like, optional every 2 weeks on a Wednesday afternoon or something, you could come and do this workshop as well, which contributes towards it, but isn't, like, the main stem of it. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah,
that
I think that's a good approach.
We were, like, a bit... Because I remember in the first, particularly the first two sessions which Jonathan did, like, only half the people, like, that's supposed to show up actually showed up.
Yeah.
So they, it's strange that, like, you already have the mentality that something, a workshop like this, isn't compulsory, although, like, obviously, like, Eileen emphasised that it is a compulsory thing, and obviously all of you guys went, because, like, I don't know if it's because you thought you had to, because you had to do the interviews, but, like,
I think that's reflected in the attendance to the lecture.
Yeah.
It's not as though people attended the lecture and then chose to skip the workshop. I think that kind of reflects the attendance trends.
Oh, okay.
More people probably turned up to the workshop.
Yeah, I'd suggest.
Oh, really?
And it was on a Monday as well instead of a
Friday morning.
Oh, okay, in that case.
And I think that the thing is also potentially you have clashes with seminars. I mean, it clashed with one of my other seminars. I came to the workshop, didn't go to that seminar.
Mm.
But there's risks that potentially some people...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But they did have three times.
I also think it's a reflective of, like, your views of what you're going to be doing before you can go.
Yeah,
like, I know someone in the lecture that didn't sign up, even though every week they were saying, if you haven't signed up, sign up, and he didn't sign up just because he just didn't want to do it. Like,
really?
Before he'd even experienced it, he just decided that it wasn't his cup of tea. And I think that there's always that risk that a lot of people not going to.
That's sort of why I had assumed when Eileen was like, only half the people have showed up.
It's a shame that on a philosophy course that people could be so closed-minded that they're not open to trying something new. But on the other hand, you are, and this will tie in with our last question, your perception of yourselves as students. To some people, you potentially see yourselves as consumers. You're paying for this education. Should something at this level be compulsory? At the end of the day, you're paying. You should be able to take from it what you will or neglect what you will. And at the end of the day, it's your responsibility. So that, again, is a potentially valid attitude. But we'll come to that.
Yeah, sorry. We, like, drift now. We've actually covered a lot of the questions in just general discussion. But did you feel that... you engaged a lot more in this space than in, like, a normal lecture or seminar situation then? Like we were saying, you were constantly doing something during the workshop, and I don't know, your minds were all working, hopefully.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think that I engaged more sort of verbally and with other people, but I'm not sure that I engaged more with the actual topic, if that makes sense. So I'm not sure that I understood and I considered it in my mind more than I would in a lecture. I think I'd probably do that more sitting down, sort of thinking right through on my own, but definitely in terms of engaging with other people, engage more.
I think as Charlotte would be mad enough from when we'd had issues, seminars, I probably engaged just as much then. have no problem with arguing with people. So yeah, I probably found it just as useful in the engaging thing. But yeah, I definitely agree that, well, at least personally, I didn't engage as much with the topic. Okay. So I found myself looking more at the literature and more how to respond rather than constantly referring it back to philosophy.
That's true, definitely thinking more of the task at hand, you know, whatever it is, whether it's talking or moving around or make up your speech, rather than the text itself and what the main themes of it are.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, again, yeah, sort of engage more with other people than with the text in that session. But I think after the session, I've engaged with the lecture today much more than I have done in the past, just because I've kind of been more enthusiastic. Yeah. Just gives a fresh kind of outlook on it.
Yeah.
So I think I engaged more today than I had done previously.
I appreciated the lecture today. So I appreciated the workshop more after having the lecture today.
Okay.
It seemed to be much more clearer the purpose of some of the tasks and why we were doing that speech by ourselves and stuff.
Okay.
I thought I engaged in the workshop only to the extent that I felt under like a certain pressure that I needed to have, so that if I got asked something, I needed to have something to say.
Right.
So to that extent, like, I wasn't necessarily thinking so much about the topic or the theme because of like being interested in the theme itself, just that I didn't want to be the one that says something stupid. Like, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, I felt that though I did engage with it, I didn't engage with it because I was like that actively involved in it. I just didn't. I wanted to have something to say when it came to me having to say something. I didn't want to have to do it.
That's what Johnny was talking about as well. Like, did you feel free in the space in terms of like freedom of speech in a way? Like, obviously you all had the space to speak, but did you feel like constrained in that you were pressured to speak?
Yeah,
I think that is a bit of a danger of it. Like, if I reflect over a lecture and stuff, I just have my opinions of it and I can think about them. But in that kind of space, you kind of need to formulate something to say, especially if you're not, I'm not a very articulate person. So
I think you know. In a lecture, you can take a bit more time, can't you, to work out what you want to say. You can perhaps write it down and listen to some others and take a bit more time. Whereas in there, did feel like your time was a bit more restricted.
Yeah.
I can understand that for just
practical time. And I think the fact that you were sort of forced to form opinions or forced to interact meant that sometimes they weren't genuine opinions or genuine interactions.
Yeah.
Like, it's the good and the bad. Like, it forces you to come up with your own opinions a bit, but then at the same time, sometimes you don't really want to be forced in that kind of time frame to
So it's quite challenging in some respects.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But
I mean,
if you must have had some seminars where you sit there and no one says anything.
Yeah.
No one speaks. So in a way, it's being compelled to talk. I mean, it can be challenging you in quite a positive way if otherwise there would just be an awkward sort of silence and no kind of debate going. To kind of be compelled to talk can actually get a dialogue going, which, once it's in full flow, allows people to actually contribute at will and kind of exchange and really explore an issue. So there's definitely a positive and negative side.
It could have been more helpful just say if we did have more of them, cause like, I think if we had an idea what to expect when we went, we may have been able to not necessarily prepare for it, but be prepared, and then you could take more out of it if you sort of knew what to expect and you knew what you were going to do, because you wouldn't be so much thinking on the spot, oh God, what am I going to say, what am I going to do now? If you had an idea and you could have thought about it beforehand, you may have had more time to, say, reflect on it philosophically or anything like that.
Perhaps
less challenging, though.
Perhaps one or two per term, you know, that would still keep the kind of this is different value, but equally allowing you, like Jack said, to go with some kind of preconception of vaguely where you're going to be going, so you know what kind of, you've got to be thinking in a different way. It's not a seminar, you can't think in that way, because I think the first 20 minutes was trying to shake yourself out of the traditional kind of, oh, Christ, got to think of something quick. Like,
I know
this is just pops in my head. I know a lot of people do go home, but I wonder if running like one, if we were wanting to go to like a more optional thing, whether running one in reading week would be quite cool.
That's true, actually.
Because if you run it at the beginning or the end of reading week, then people will be around and they'll still be able to go home.
Mm.
Like, if you run it on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon, then people can still go home if they want to.
Might have seen attendance. If attendance was 50% during
yeah
kind of term time,
when it was compulsory. Yeah. And one of the things that would make it optional is that although if it's a raging success, some weeks or at the beginning, some people will attend, is that if attendance diminishes, the fact is that someone has worked really hard to put those workshops together, and not only is it stunted if not enough people turn up to participate, but it's actually demotivating for the person
who's, and it's the same with lectures, with
attendance. When only half the class is showing up, your lecturers do notice, and they feel... They don't feel good about that, like, because they then it reflects on the lecturers feel that it reflects on them. They ask themselves, well, what is it about? Am I too boring? Am I not doing my job properly? Why aren't people engaged? Why aren't they coming to the lectures? So there are real consequences to all these things, and it's something to really take into account when organising a workshop like this. It almost needs to be made compulsory that it actually works.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I was just thinking, like, if you, I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's
a way of getting more in without having to...
The thing is with the university, when the word compulsory is used, it's not really compulsory, is it? What happens if somebody doesn't attend that workshop?
Yeah.
Hence, you are still being advised strongly that you should attend. I mean, everyone here did, and 50% did, but if you're those people who don't turn up to the lectures very regularly, you're probably unlikely to...
And what do you think? What would you suggest as a solution to that?
No, I don't know.
You couldn't think of anything. What would compel you to?
I mean, personally, I attended anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I was willing to attend. Mm. But if I don't agree with the word compulsory at university,
right?
I personally
that's
don't
interesting.
Like it.
And again, that ties into whether you're. What are you as a student? What is your role as a student? Are you a consumer? Should you have a greater say in what the services that the university is providing you? Ultimately, should the university be serving you and not you paying to have the privilege of serving the university?
On the flip side, I have a Monday morning 9 o'clock seminar for politics, and it is so dire. There's so little conversation there.
I think it's attendance.
And attendance is quite poor now. Really? Imagine if they said, oh, you don't have to attend, and only three people turned up and you was one of them.
Hmm.
I could equally appreciate there you'd like mandatory attendance to help.
Well, I think the way to do it is to just make it part of the course. Like, when you're applying to the university, just say, we'll incorporate open learning or active learning or whatever. And then that way you can say, you're not using it's compulsory, you have to go, but just saying it's part of your course, you've signed up for it.
Yeah.
Especially
and then people will think that it's... Then people will think that it's,
they're expecting it.
Yeah, they're expecting it, so they're like, oh, hold on.
And they want to do it, presumably, if they've signed up for
presumably,
it.
Presumably, yeah.
Although you would say that about the Ideas of Freedom lectures.
Yeah.
You?
I think what you're saying about the consumer thing, and anyone else, but that compels me more to go than if we just said it's compulsory, like, in sixth form or something, if I was a bit tired or I'd been out the night before and you've got, like, double maths, first thing in the morning, I'd think, oh, you know, forget it, I'll catch my notes off someone. But when you pay and say, $3,500 to come in, $3,500 for accommodation, and a couple of years down, it's going to be $9,000, you're thinking, hold on, I'm paying all this money.
Why am I going
to the lectures?
Exactly, but no, that's... If we'll
put pin
on that, we will, because that's the last question.
Okay, so just quickly, like, just go around and say which aspect of the workshop you enjoyed the most and which you think didn't really work. If you can remember it, why you can.
Or like which exercise we thought.
Yeah, which like
I thought the one where we had to just talk for a while was the one that most like interested me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because it made you aware of how difficult it is when you would never really think it is.
It's the one I least enjoyed, but the one I felt I took the most out of.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
What are we going
to
talk about?
I think the one that was most... seemed to have the strongest message was when you were speaking and the person had to do a physical response that you had to carry on, because that was so difficult.
Yeah.
And you realise that, you know, you can be limited in your freedom and directed by people around you.
See, for me, maybe I was just being a bit ignorant. For me, that was the, like, least useful, because when I was just trying to respond, I was just thinking, like, what can I do that's new? What can I do about this? And didn't think of anything philosophical.
Well, I was the speaker, so it might have been different.
Yeah. When I was just doing the actions, I was just thinking, what different facial expression can I do? How differently can I move my arms?
I just repeated this constantly and just watched Charlotte speed up and speed up and speed up to the point where she couldn't keep up with the text.
That's quite funny.
No, I think that's true. I didn't really listen to the words that much. I just kind of... of different reactions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because again, I suppose, because you don't want to look silly.
Yeah.
So. Are we limited to just exercises about what we thought worked, or can we go on for like 10?
No, go ahead, yeah.
I think Jonathan worked.
Yeah.
I think the enthusiasm, yeah. I think he made it enjoyable instead of a chore, so.
He does, yeah, he's very encouraging at what he does.
Say with those workshops, it's so important that you have a really talented, enthusiastic leader, and he was one of them. I think if they die on their feet if you haven't got anyone who seems as skilled and as talented.
Yeah, if it's sat down and just talks in a monotone voice, like, now do this, now talk a bit, now just spend 3 minutes speaking to yourself.
Yeah,
you just sat there.
This was something, I mean, I actually noticed this on the day, and I pretty much used the exact same words that I did mention to Eileen and actually to Jonathan himself. And I did wonder, I don't know what you guys think about this, but how practical is the OSL workshop scheme without Jonathan? I mean, Jonathan, I think from what you're saying, it seems like you think he's pretty special, pretty good up to the job, but like how easy would it be to diffuse that responsibility amongst other members of staff? How, I mean, even if they're given training, how easily could they bring that kind of natural flair to it?
Yeah. You need the dramatic background, and I think
he's got a really nice way as well of, because I think for a lot of people doing that kind of thing is they're being taken out of their comfort zone, and he's got a really nice way of sort of making you feel comfortable and allowing you to express yourself without feeling sort of pressured or a bit overwhelmed. He's got a really nice balance between the two.
I think he was a director, wasn't he? So I suppose that is very much his comfort zone, and he kind of spread that feeling onto you. If you were to say, take a member of staff from the philosophy department, give them a weekend or week's worth of training, I don't know if they could offer the same kind of thing.
I'm sure they could find people that could, though. I'm sure he's not the only one.
No.
So I think they'd have to be sort of quite selective with who they.
Yeah.
And just the fact that he's not a lecturer, like, I can't imagine. If a lecturer was taking it, you just see it as they're a lecturer and they're doing something. Like, you see what I mean? If you've got someone that's trained to do it, then you think that's that person that does that. Whereas if it's a lecturer, it's a lecturer taking something that's not a lecture.
I think as well with the philosophy department, I think most of the lecturers, you could imagine just sit there stewing in their own thoughts rather than doing something like that, just slowly speaking and going off on something else. I can't imagine Ben being up and like, right, let's act it out. And just being sat there.
That's the Angie Hobbs thing.
That would be brilliant.
Well, Angie Hobbs last year took part in a philosopher's football match. Did you guys know that?
What?
Oh, you can find it. I don't know if I've seen it. On it might be on YouTube. But anyway, various members of the philosophy department, I believe, but especially Angie Hobbs springs to mind, took part in a literal philosopher's football match.
No contemplating about it. It wasn't a metaphysical
football match. No, it was a genuine football match. I think she was practicing her skills all the way up until the big day. So philosophers can step outside their little academic bubble, but no, good points there.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Okay, so we've kind of covered a lot of these, actually, so don't worry about keeping your answers brief, but... So you've talked about like application to that this workshop would have on the rest of your subject, and you're kind of agreed that like probably not a direct application maybe to the other areas of your subject. Definitely need to have a lecture alongside it. Once again, that's very similar. And we talked about like it being. The question was sort of, do you think it's integral to your course and the way you study? And once again, we kind of covered that, but like talking about how many times you should have it a term even. But I think you all have agreed that like it has been useful to you. Like, I don't know, Maddie, you were kind of a bit like,
I'm not sure if it was useful. It's not that it wasn't enjoyable, it's just...
Yeah,
I'm not sure that it was particularly useful.
That's a good point, because like enjoyable and useful are very different things. So, well, that's fair enough.
I'm sure it was useful to some people, but I'm like Maddie. For me, but in no way when I'm working or revising or even thinking about an essay will anything to do with that come back to me, spring to mind. Anything to do with that might help, but to some people it might. So, maybe if it was, I know we've said like it's not going to be great if it's not compulsory because you may not get attendance and all things like that, but. I think for a lot of people, that won't help.
Yeah.
I mean, it might do for some people, and that's great, but I think for a lot of people, that'll just be an hour and a half where they just think, yeah, it's been a bit fun, it's been a bit daft, but it's not going to contribute.
But at the same time, kind of taking a step back, it's nice to see people trying new things and staying open-minded. And even though it's not for me, I really like that there might be other different things, other different ways to learn in the future, and that I've got access to it.
Yeah, it's nice that like, you can nevertheless like appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if at the start of the year you could offer potentially the alternative of open learning.
Yeah.
As a for all those who want to go into it at the start of the year if they already know they like it to be involved.
Well, I would have hated it. I would not have if I'd have known I would not have signed up for it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's with the kind of physical thing. I don't like moving about, but it wasn't like that, so that's fine.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you think in an active workshop that you'd be asked to do like really active.
If it was part of the course, I'd happily do it. But if it was optional, I'm not sure I would.
So it might be one of those things that instead of giving you this compulsory workshop halfway through your second term, if you all had to go to, if you were like given a taster of it right at the beginning of your course, so at least you knew what it was about, then you could make an informed decision.
Or just leave it compulsory, because I don't think.
Yeah.
I think if people really don't want to go, they just won't turn up.
I think to a certain extent, even if people enjoyed it, if it wasn't compulsory, there'd be plenty of people that would enjoy it and find it interesting that still wouldn't go, just because it's not compulsory, they don't feel the need to.
It takes one look at the logic lectures. I mean, what, we've got L4, it's a massive room, about 15 people turn up to a lecture.
I suppose you could make it optionally.
Really? That's much worse than last year.
I think just keeping it compulsory.
I feel compelled to turn up, so I keep turning up, and it's gradually less and less.
Well, that's really interesting, because I swear even ideas of freedom, we had quite like a good attendance, I think, last year.
Yeah, there were always people, some people who didn't turn, and like there were often people wouldn't do the reading, or they'd have to, like, they wouldn't have done it for that week and they'd catch, but like definitely for things like logic, like people didn't like it, but for the most part they turned up because they knew it was necessary to pass the course.
Do you not get people turning up?
That's mental. And also Stephen was really cool, I really liked
him. Oh yeah, you guys don't have Stephen Butterfield.
Oh, you don't have him?
No, we've got
we have his slouch.
He was the lifeline. Like,
that's another good point.
Well, he's a professor. He's like Johnny.
Exactly.
He was.
He's an actor. I felt like during those lectures, he's very
really
very
quirky, funny guy who would, you'd hate the lecture, but it'd be worth going just to see what he'd do. And like he'd in every 20 minutes or so, he'd stop, go off on a complete tangent and talk about some funny thing and have a picture of ducks on the board or something.
Yeah, that's what like gives us enough
pictures. About
so now there's a guy that's not like that, but using his quirky slides.
who have you got for
Michael Lemley.
I thought that'd be the case. Yeah.
There appears to be a pig
different.
On the slide here, moving on.
His style is a little bit drier.
I like where every so often he'll tell a joke there and you'll hear just like one person dryly laugh and then it stops and he sort of just looks around and goes, okay, and just moves on.
For one of our modules we had the lecture change, and beforehand it was just the most boring module.
Yeah.
The guy was just so dull. I don't think I've sat in more, I mean, I like politics, so I thought I'd be engaged, but it was just, he'd take any topic and just make it as boring and tedious as possible. And then we've got this new lecturer who's a New Zealander. He's so much more interesting, and you can really appreciate then how important personality is, because it's the same subject material, but he's taken it and now really much more enjoy these lectures. They've moved to become my favourite ones to go to. From what they were is just boring and tedious, and you just daydream for the last 20 minutes.
So maybe, I mean, what I interpret from that is that, I mean, potentially having these separate workshops would be less important than having staff who sort of are aware of how to engage the students in the lectures.
Yeah. In a similar way.
Yeah, I'd do great.
And that would be something that would promote your engagement with the subject. It would make it presumably, I mean, that would get more people turning up rather than throwing up their hands in despair.
The first lecture we had, literally just his lecture was an overview of a reading list.
Mm.
Strange.
It was not, let's go in and explore the topics. I mean, the new guy we've got, he's quite funny. He's a bit quirky as well. Occasionally throws in some impressions of people and stuff. And it's quite good. And it is much more engaging. You do much more enjoy it.
So what do you think of, now this is completely out of the blue, I've literally just thought of this, but what would you guys say to some kind of OSL workshop for staff so that they could pick up different ways of approaching subjects and explore different ways of communicating their subjects so that they could then bring that to their lectures with you?
I think it would be much more beneficial to keep it with the student OSL ones. I think that lecturers will... I think there are certain lecturers that will just hate every minute of it. Yeah. And in fact, it will put them off even thinking about doing an OSL thing with students. Because yeah. I think it's something that you either love or you hate.
I think the same thing, like, it could be good in the sense that I think there's some lecturers, not to name any names, who are very aware of how intelligent they are, and if you don't keep up, you can just get left behind, because they're talking about something they know very well, and they'll talk about it in whatever way they want to talk about it. Whereas you've got some others, like, I really enjoyed Issues, because I really thought Cassim was really good.
Yeah,
like, the way he was talking about it, I thought it was good. He threw me the occasional joke, he'd talk about weird examples. And it's part of the subject matter as well, but partly the way he delivered it, I thought was really good. He really engaged you. He was walking about talking a lot. But with some people, when we stand there and we talk in a very dry way, and if you don't keep up, oh, well, that's your problem. They know what they're talking about. I think if they were, I'm not saying open space learning would help them be more engaging, but maybe if they saw a few more of the benefits of it, they might be a bit more enthusiastic and might try and get the point across a bit more of than just talking about what they know.
I think it can be very important. I mean, if you think some lecturers lectured for 10, 15 years, they've potentially done that same module for 10 years. They just take it the same way every year.
Yeah.
And maybe just to have an eye-opener, just a bit of a refresher to go, well, there are different ways. They can do something more than slightly edit a PowerPoint slide. Which, I mean, it might not work, but it just might...
Might as well give it a go.
Might as well give it a go.
You
they might
lose anything from it.
Yeah, exactly. They might, like, in the same way we've kind of generated different thoughts about that one, they might have some different thoughts. They may decide to be slightly more charismatic in a lecture as opposed to a bit more reserved.
Yeah, I think the way they deliver the lectures is so much more important than the actual environment. I mean, we all kind of agreed that the workshop was so good because it was Jonathan leading it. And it wasn't because of the tasks or because of the text or anything. I think it was more to do with the way he directed it and the way everyone was involved.
That's a really good point.
I think it was to do with the task, not as directed. I think you're not going to change. If a lecturer's been lecturing for 15 years, they're not going to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should be forced to change, because I think sometimes if they're told to change, then they'll get disillusioned and not want to do it, and feel like, and then not present it as successfully as they would.
Okay.
I think it's cool, but I'd rather have a student based plan.
And I think as well, as much as we all sort of sit here and say, "Oh, this person's engaging," some people might say that people who make jokes or go off topic is distracting, and they might find someone who is very sort of to the point and direct. They might find that the best way to learn. So I think having a range of lecture styles is probably more beneficial than trying to get everyone to be really sort of enthusiastic, and because it's obviously going to be different ways of lecturing. You're never going to avoid that. So I think maybe sort of trying to embrace the different styles rather than put everyone in one.
Yeah, you can't please everyone.
It's going to be
anything that's going to kind of encourage lecturers to be more charismatic is always going to be good. But I think, I agree, like, to a certain extent, you're trying to get them to change their personality a little bit, which, like, if they've always done lectures the same way, that's because that's how they do it and that's how they speak all of it.
Can you guys, though, trying to learn new ways? Like, can you transfer that argument to saying, okay, well, and you guys going to these workshops and they're trying to change the way that you learn after 10 years in the, you know, whatever, in your education system. Presumably if these, not necessarily the same type of workshops, but something was made available to academics and it was suggested that there are different methods that they could employ to improve the way that students are engaging, and they came along to that, then they're not under any obligation to change. They're not being forced to change their personalities or their lecture styles. They're just being presented with a bunch of strategies and potentially new ways of looking.
Which they might not necessarily know.
Yeah, which could help them to help you. But no, I mean, that's a really interesting range of opinions thing we've kind of got.
Yeah.
People looking at it from all kinds of different angles.
Exactly what I think. Like, if you did something like that, I think the people that turn up would be the people that don't need to.
Like
people like Angie would probably get along and stuff like that. But she's like, she doesn't need to get any more charismatic or like,
yeah.
Where she's walking around, she's as good as it is, but the people
who you say might say, oh, they need a bit more charismatic would probably be people who would be like,
I
think like what Charlotte was saying is that I know a lot of people who really don't like Angie's lectures, and I know other people who think that hers are the best. Mm. So again, there's you do need the range.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's really true. Okay, so we have covered like a lot of that stuff and just about how you think, how frequently you think the OSL workshops, we've talked about that. So lastly, and this is like probably your most important question, is so do you think it's important that you have a say on how the course is taught as yourselves, like we were saying, you're consumers of like the
Yeah, bearing in mind, teaching, like I think the reason that we came to this question does require a little bit of a background. We were discussing, in fact, it is a bit of a wider debate at the moment, how the government changes to funding affects the status of students and how that changes the relationships of students to the university and how sort of what students who are going to be paying, you know, up to £9,000 for education in future should be entitled to expect and demand for the service that they're paying for. So kind of just to put that to you again, do you feel that you should have a greater say in how your course is taught, or do you think that actually the academics know best and that you should just sort of accept it as it's given to you? Or?
I think we should have a say. I think we have to be aware that our opinions are such that they're just opinions.
Mm.
But we are consumers. We do pay for the universities. And a university that offers teaching methods and courses that are of no interest to students, where it's becoming a more and more market-based system, will not succeed. It's as potentially as simple as they have to listen. But I think the options presented to us should still be formulated by the academics, and we just input.
Yeah.
I totally agree that we should have a say, but I think as well, as students, when we've just left home and went to uni, I've kind of got a tendency to think they know best when they really don't.
Mm.
So if you might think, oh no, I shouldn't do this, I should do that, I should do this, it should be done this way, when really the other people, they've been there, they've done that, they've learned from it, they've lectured for so many years.
Yeah.
Even if it's like not going to suit you perfectly, and obviously like we said before, everyone's different, learns different ways, you're not going to know better than someone who's been doing it for the amount of time most lecturers have and the body already in place has.
I think this is a really good way for us to have a say, I think, right?
Yeah. Okay.
This kind of setup. And
There is the SSLC, but it's very difficult to get people, the wider views, and also the members of staff are only those that are actually interested. I'd say you need a dialogue. You need, there's no point having a body of students and a body of lecturers. You do need the dialogue. And I think we do need to be equals because they're more intelligent, but there's more of us. So I think we do need to kind of be on a dialogue that's kind of say, we want this, and then them say, we want this.
If there's too much of an uneven power relationship, the lecturers will simply dismiss potentially legitimate concerns about, the reading list isn't very clear to me. Not sure which ones I have to read and which ones I don't.
That's what I brought up. And
they may dismiss those, so I think it's important.
We're trying to do that in the SSSC.
So I found that as well with like a lot of PhD students which run seminars, some of them will, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, they are more intelligent, they've done it for longer, they will talk down to you, they will make you know that, yeah, they've been doing it longer than you, they're more intelligent than you, you're there to sort of thing, where some others will talk to you just like, yeah, they probably know they're more intelligent, you know they're more intelligent, but they'll talk to you like an equal, they'll get on with you, they'll have a laugh with you, and they'll just try and engage you in it, and I think things like that really do make a difference.
I just think the way universities are heading to be run, it has to be done along a customer service base. We are primarily potentially customers, and you wouldn't treat customers like that in a business. Universities are becoming more like a business.
They have
to keep the customer base happy and engaged.
Then again, you don't want to ask for teaching in a manner that they can't do, that lecturers can't do, because then you're just going to have really poor quality teaching.
Yeah.
I think, again, there needs to be a dialogue, because if someone is used to doing it, to suddenly change means you won't get nearly as good quality of information across.
Well, if there is poor quality, then it could come back up, can't it? And they can then get the dialogue mechanisms.
You don't always know what's poor or good quality, though, do you?
Presumably, you know what you can tell if you're engaged, you can tell if you're finding something effective. Are you learning? Are you wanting to turn up to the lecture? If the answer is no to those questions, then I think you know.
Yeah. It's a thing you gauge over time, though, as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like this process of OSL. It's something which, over time, like we say, like, you had more, it's almost like a practice thing. Like, you wouldn't be forced, you wouldn't feel under pressure to, like, say something, because you would be used to being in a position where you have to do that. So it is all about, like, experiencing it, like, on a regular basis. And yeah, but no, I think that's been really useful.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks, guys. Glad you had fun, even if you don't think that it was the best way to learn ideas of freedom.
Yeah.